This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, your weekly hour of old-time radio crime brought to you by RelicRadio.com. Our first show this week is from Nick Carter, Master Detective. We'll hear Murder in a Decanter, his story from December 31st, 1944. Then it's Boston Blackie and the Star of the Nile, his story from July 14th, 1944.
What is it?
Another case for Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Yes, it's another case for that most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction, Nick Carter, Master Detective, presented by the three great Linex home brighteners, Linex clear gloss, Linex cream polish, and Linex self-polishing wax, created by Acme, America's great producer of Acme quality paints. Today's curious adventure,
Murder in a Decanter, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Missing Body.
In just a moment, we'll hear how Nick Carter solved the mystery of the decanter murder. But first, I want to ask you something. Does your home have that inviting holiday look the whole year round? It can have. Yes, just as Chemtone, the miracle wall finish, has brought new beauty to your walls, so the three great Linex home brighteners will bring added loveliness to your floors, woodwork, and furniture. Linex self-polishing wax, which beautifies your floors with a satiny yet tough non-skid finish that resists wear, water, and dirt. Linex cream polish, which cleans as it polishes, leaving no oily film on your furniture. And Linex clear gloss varnish, the durable super varnish that dries to an elastic, transparent surface which protects all wood and linoleum in your home. You'll find the three great Linex home brighteners at your hardware, paint, or department store. Your headquarters also for Chemtone, the miracle wall finish. And now for today's mysterious adventure with Nick Carter. As our story opens, we find Nick and Patsy at a New Year's party talking to their host.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carter, but the man I asked you here to meet has been unavoidably detained. You and he would have had a great deal in common, I know.
Yes, Nick's been looking forward to it for a long time now, Mr. Cord.
And I can keep looking forward to it for a while longer, I guess.
Well, Mr. Carter, you'll probably find all kinds of people at my parties. I'll be seeing you.
Well, there are certainly all kinds of people here, Patsy. But I can't see anyone I care about talking to.
The trouble with you, Nick, is that all you think about is business.
Well, true enough. But in my business, I meet people who are interesting and frequently intelligent, even if they are crooks. But here...
There are probably interesting characters here if we only knew which ones they are.
Yes. Now, look at that man just coming into the room. If you can call him a man. Oh. Mackley, I believe his name is. Typical gigolo if I ever saw one. And he's not contented with drinking at the bar. Carrying his own private decanter of whiskey right along with him.
Yes, he's hardly an attractive type. To me, that is. I understand that he's considered very attractive by many women, however.
Do you know him?
No, but I know something about him. For one thing, I understand that he and our hostess are pretty thick, and that he... Uh-oh, he's coming over here.
Well, I hope he doesn't want to stick around.
Having fun, Carter? Great party, isn't it?
Yes, if you like it.
Well, I've just been giving a bit of extra attention to our lovely hostess. She's almost out. Shouldn't drink so much, you know. The lovely Cynthia just can't take it, I'm afraid.
Is she all right, Mr. Mackley?
Oh, yes, yes, practically speaking. I just left her on the divan in a small den upstairs. Gave her a little snifter and left her there to sleep it off.
The small den?
Yes, her upstairs library where she keeps her account books and whatever. Nice private little place to get rid of that too-much-too-fast feeling, you know.
Yes, I see. That's why that whiskey decanter you're carrying around, I suppose, Mr. Mackley.
Oh, yes, yes. I can now put it back on the shelf behind the bar where it belongs.
Cheerio.
What an unpleasant creature.
Yes. If Cynthia wants to two-time her husband for a thing like that, I certainly don't admire her taste.
Well, I've had enough of this anytime you have, Nick. Shall we leave here?
You're Mr. Carter, the detective, aren't you?
Why, yes, I am.
It must be thrilling to be a detective.
Well, I suppose that's all in the point of view, Miss...
Bentham, Carla Bentham. My brother's Wallace Bentham, Mr. Cord's private secretary.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes, Miss Bentham.
Will you please help me find my brother?
Find your brother? Why, what do you mean?
I'm sure he's here in the house somewhere, but I can't find him. I'm really terribly worried.
But why?
He was to have taken me home an hour and a half ago, Mr. Carter, at 11 o'clock. We both work, and he knows I have to get up early for my job.
But isn't it just possible he's simply forgotten it? He may be sitting in a corner somewhere with some...
Wallace isn't like that, Mr. Carter. I know he'd have met me unless something serious was detaining him.
Quite frankly, Miss Bentham, I can't get very worried about you, brother. You'll turn up, I'm sure.
Mr. Carter, I've searched all over the house. He simply isn't around.
You mean you've looked in every room in the house?
Every room but one, literally. But the door of the small den on the second floor is locked. I couldn't get in there. So I don't know if he's there or not.
Did you knock?
Yes, and nobody answered.
Nick, that's the room where Mr. Mackley said he left our hostess.
Probably, Betsy.
Well, she's practically out on her feet. It's funny the door should be locked, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Mr. Carter, will you come up with me? I'm afraid. I don't know why. I just am.
Well, go ahead, Nick. It won't take but just a few minutes.
All right, Miss Bentham. It'll make you happier. Lead on, and we'll follow along.
It's right over here, Mr. Carter.
Huh? Is this where the 40 thieves hung out?
How do you mean?
Look at the size of those jars, or urns, or whatever you call them. Two at the head of the stairs and two more on the landing. Boy.
They're Oriental, I believe. Brought back by one of Mr. Cord's ancestors. This is the room. Here.
The door's locked, all right. Well, let's try knocking.
You see? No answer.
Well... Detective's supposed to look through keyholes, so I might as well live up to my reputation. Yes, I think I will have a look in there after all.
Well, something is wrong, Nick.
Mr. Carter, what is it?
You'll see in just a moment. And it won't be pleasant, I warn you. And let me get this door open. There.
Oh, Nick, that's Mrs. Cord.
That was Mrs. Cord.
Oh, the whole top of her skull is smashed in. Oh, Nick.
Wallace. Wallace?
There's obviously no one in this room but the body.
But Wallace, where's Wallace? This is the only place where he could be, and he isn't here. He isn't.
Please, Miss Benson.
This is a matter for the police. I hope Lieutenant Riley doesn't mind being hauled out of bed in the middle of the night.
You sure nobody's touched anything since you found the body?
Positive, Sergeant Kilroy.
It's a wonder to me how we always find you on the scene of a killing whenever we get here. Lieutenant Riley... let you get away with murder. But now that he ain't here, you got me to deal with. And I ain't as soft in the head as he is, not where you're concerned.
Sorry, I annoy you, Sergeant, but I just happen to be here.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, suppose you just happen to tell me what you found out so far.
Always glad to help the police, Sergeant, when they need it, which is often enough generally.
Now, look here.
The body was just where you see it now, on the floor there. I could see it through the keyhole, which is why I opened the door in the first place. On the desk, you see two glasses and an empty bottle of burgundy. And that's all.
Where's the murder weapon?
That you'll have to answer for yourself. I haven't found it anywhere.
Got any suspects?
Have you talked to Mackley yet?
I have. He says he was up here in the den helping Mrs. Cord get over a bad spell. He says he gave her a shot of liquor and went downstairs again. That's all he knows.
Puts him in a pretty tight spot, doesn't it?
It might, except for a few facts you've overlooked.
Such as what?
Carla Bentham swears her brother must have been in this room. Says she searched the rest of the house and couldn't find him. Therefore, he was in here. Therefore, he killed Mrs. Cord and scrammed out of here with a murder weapon. It ain't here anywhere, so he must have taken it with him.
Sure of that?
Mrs. Cord was clubbed to death. There's nothing in any of these rooms that could have done the clubbing. Therefore, young Wallace and the weapon went out of here together.
Kilroy, it sounds like a pretty feeble story to me. You don't even know Wallace was in this room. He may have been outside on the grounds while his sister was looking for him.
You think Mackley did it?
I feel quite sure he didn't. His motive would have been to keep her alive rather than otherwise. He could get money and gifts out of her only as long as she was alive and healthy. No, I haven't found the murderer yet, and neither have you, Kilroy.
Yeah? Well, how about this? Wallace Bentham ain't here now, is he?
Apparently not.
Then how did he get out of this place? He ain't in the house. He ain't anywhere on the grounds. My men know that now. And there's a wall around this place with only one gate. And the man at the gate says he ain't left here since he came in last night. Which means he sneaked away by somehow climbing over the wall. If that don't mean he's guilty, I'm a herring's uncle.
You got any theory about what happened here?
I got just one theory, and it's the right one. The servants told us there's been something going on between young Bentham and Mrs. Cord. Tonight, young Bentham found Mrs. Cord and Mackley having a drink in here. There's the two glasses and the empty burgundy bottle. He was jealous, waited until Mackley had gone out, and clubbed her over the head in a jealous rage.
Very simple when you put it that way.
You got any better ideas?
Until I have facts to go on, I don't have any ideas at all. Well, I think I'll be getting home if I can find Patsy. Good night, Lieutenant. Or should I say, Sergeant?
That's all right, Carter. It'll be Lieutenant one of these days, and don't you forget it. And when it is, Carter, watch your step.
I'll be happy to. So long. All right, all right. Nick Carter's office.
Mr. Carter, this is you-know-who. Don't mention my name.
Oh, yes, I recognize your voice.
Can you come to 2343 Aldine Street at once? I'm in terrible trouble. Terrible.
But what's the matter?
I can't tell you on the phone. For the love of heaven, come.
All right. Lucky you caught me. I was just going out to dinner. Be right over.
Come in quick. Look, there.
Why, that's Mackley. With the top of his head crushed in, too.
Yes, there's what did it.
Heavy glass bookend, huh?
I found him like that when I came home.
He just got in when you phoned me?
Yes. I opened my door, and there he was.
Been dead less than an hour, I should say.
Oh, what will the police say? And after what happened to Mrs. Cord last night?
Yes, Sergeant Kilroy will undoubtedly have plenty to say. How do you suppose Mackley got in here?
He may have picked the lock. Or...
Or what?
My brother Wallace had the only other key to my apartment.
If he were here and opened the door to find Mackley there instead of you, you might have swung with the bookend. Oh, I wonder. Miss Bentham, how well do you know Mr. Mackley?
I only met him once before last night.
If he's almost a stranger, why should he come here to see you?
I don't know. And that's the truth.
Let's see what he has in his pockets. Maybe that'll tell us something. Usual junk man carries around. Pencils, pen, receipted bill, check for his car in a parking lot around the corner. Oh, see here. This is addressed to you.
What is it?
Says, Dear Miss Bentham, I phoned all day to try to get in touch with you. Finally, I came in person as I could wait no longer. I must see you. I have something to tell you about last night and your brother. Also, I want your help. I want you to keep... And that's all.
That's a funny way for a note to end, Mr. Carter.
Yes. That and the ragged way the note is folded makes it obvious. He was scribbling this note to you here at your table when something startled him and he crammed it in his pocket. And then he was killed.
But who killed him and how did they get in here?
See what's outside this window. Ah, here's the answer. Marks of shoe nails on the windowsill. The flat roof only 6 feet below your window here. Looks as if somebody got out here. Probably the killer. May have heard your key in the lock and dashed out this way.
Maybe I'm lucky he didn't wait and kill me, too.
Miss Bentham, does your brother drink wine?
You're thinking of the empty bottle and the two glasses in Mrs. Cord's room last night, I suppose.
Yes.
Yes, Wallace drinks only wine, nothing else. But what does that...
Open up in the name of the law.
The police.
Open up, Carter. I know you're there, and the girl, too.
Quiet. Let me handle this. Just a second.
So, another killing, eh? And you are in on this, Carter. Last night I thought you weren't, but now I find you here with this girl and a dead man.
What I told you last night was the truth, Kilroy. I know nothing about this except what you see here. Miss Bentham came home tonight and found Mackley dead.
Sure, sure, I know. Hold out your hands, Carter.
What are you figuring on, Sergeant?
What do you think? You're in this thing up to your neck. I'm taking you in and locking you up.
What can Nick do now? Arrested and in jail for a murder he didn't commit, he can't do much to find the real murderer. What's going to be his next step? We'll see in just a moment. No matter how careful we are, we're all likely to track in mud, snow, and slush from out of doors these winter days. Save time and energy by protecting your floors. Use Linex Self-Polishing Wax, the non-skid finish, to give your wood and linoleum floor surfaces protection plus beauty. Because Linex Self-Polishing Wax contains genuine Carnauba wax, it wears well and may be renewed at any time without re-waxing the whole floor. Linex Self-Polishing Wax resists water, too, so that it may be wiped up easily. And it lessens your work, because Linex Self-Polishing Wax keeps dirt on the surface, where it's readily wiped away. What's more, Linex Self-Polishing Wax gives all your floors a beautiful, satiny appearance you'll be proud of. Best of all, Linex Self-Polishing Wax requires no tiresome rubbing or polishing. You simply wipe it on in a jiffy. So depend on the modern way to keep your floors looking their best with a minimum of work. Get Linex, L-I-N-X, Linex Self-Polishing Wax now. You'll find all three great Linex home brighteners and Chemtone, the miracle wall finish, at hardware, paint, and department stores everywhere. And now back to our story. We left Nick trying to talk Sergeant Kilroy out of arresting him for murder, but without much success.
You're in this thing up to your neck, and I'm taking you in and locking you up.
Well, that's absurd, Kilroy. I had nothing to do with it.
Put your hands out, Carter.
Kilroy, you're a fool.
Why, you interfere?
You shouldn't hit a policeman, Mr. Carter.
I know it, but I had to do it. I've got to be on the loose for a time. I'm just beginning to make sense out of this. Come on.
Where?
Kilroy was alone when he came up here, but he must have men downstairs. We have to get out of here before they come here looking for him. You got any money?
Yes, some.
Good. Go to a side street hotel somewhere and register under an assumed name. I'll be at the Green Hotel under the name of John Nicholas. But don't call me unless it's very important. Casey's parking lot. Yes, this is the one. Will you get this car for me, please? Here's the check. This ought to be far enough away. Now, let's see if there's anything in this car of Magley's. Nothing inside here. Well, maybe he has something in the rear compartment. No. Which one of these keys unlocks this? There. Ah, hat box, huh? But that's a whole lot heavier than any hat box I ever... Uh-oh. I'll have to postpone this investigation for now. I better get out of here.
Who's there? Oh, it's you, Nick.
Yes.
So long since you've used that private entrance of yours, I'd almost forgotten about it.
It's been a long time, Patsy, since I've had to get into my office without anyone seeing me.
What have you done now?
Oh, Sergeant Kilroy and I had a little argument, and I won by a knockout.
Oh, Nick, you didn't.
I had to. It was Kilroy or me.
So that's why those two cops have been hanging around out in front here for the last hour. What's going on?
Plenty.
Well, is that a hat box you have there?
Yes, it belonged to Mackley.
To Mackley?
Yes. He was murdered in Carla Bentham's apartment earlier this evening.
Oh?
I'll tell you all about it later. Right now I want to find out why a hat box should be so heavy. Give me those scissors.
Here you are.
Now, snip here. Snip there. The string is off. We lift the lid, and we find... lots of tissue paper.
Oh, hurry up, Nick.
And under the tissue paper, we find a whiskey decanter.
Oh, but that can't be whiskey in it. It's too red.
You're right there. No, don't touch it, Patsy. Maybe fingerprints on it.
Oh.
Here, let me use my handkerchief. I'll take it out where I can see it better.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, Nick. Why, it's cut glass.
Yes, but what's that in it? Smells like wine. Yes, it is wine. A sparkling burgundy, I should say, with no more sparkle left in it.
That's a funny thing to do, put wine in a whiskey decanter.
Yes, and I have a feeling I've seen this decanter before.
Of course, Nick. Mackley had it at the Cord's party last night.
Right, Patsy. He brought it downstairs and set it on the shelf of that little private bar. Brought it downstairs from the den where Mrs. Cord was murdered. Let me look at it again. Of course! That's why the wine was put in it. This was what killed Mrs. Cord, Patsy.
What?
Yes, see the blood right on the corner here?
What?
You can't see it with a decanter full of wine unless you look for it. And there are fingerprints on it, too. I can see them. Patsy, that's the answer.
I don't get it, Nick.
You will later. Right now, I've got to get over to the Green Hotel, where I'm supposed to be registered as John Nicholas. I'll see you later, and take good care of that decanter. Oh, I wonder why I ever picked out such a dump to come to. Should at least have picked a radio. Yes?
Can you come to see me again? Right away?
What is it this time?
Something special. Wallace is coming to see me, and I thought...
Wallace? Your brother?
Yes, and I thought he could get some advice from you.
How do you know he's coming?
He just phoned me. Said he'd be here in 5 minutes.
But that's utterly and completely impossible.
That's what he said.
How do you know where to phone you?
I guess he must have been near my hotel when I left and followed me here. Can you come?
You bet I'll come. I wouldn't miss it. Where are you?
The Marlowe. Ask for Helen Laughlin.
I'll be there in 10 minutes. Clerk.
Yes, sir?
Miss Helen Laughlin's room.
Number 211, right at the head of the stairs. Is she expecting you?
No, she's not expecting me. And I don't want to phone up to her. I want to surprise her, see?
Oh, sorry, sir. Rules are that all visitors have to be announced.
Is that so? Well, here's a $5 bill. See it?
Yes, sir.
Now tear it in half. So. Here's half for you and half for me. You get the other half if you don't phone on ahead that I'm coming. If you do phone ahead, I've got something else here in my hip pocket that you'll get when I come down. And I know how to handle it, too. You get me?
Yes, sir, I get you. You can go right on up. Nobody will announce you.
Okay. See you later.
Come in.
Get your hands up quick, Carter. Close the door, Arthur.
Yes, Father.
Very nicely done. Mr. Cord and son Arthur, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carter. They made me phone you.
We did. A few twists of her arm, and she was glad to oblige.
I knew they'd be here, Miss Bentham. So I notified the cops on our way up here. They should be along any
minute. Father, hear that? We've got to get
out. He's lying. The police would never believe him now. He's wanted himself. Besides... why should he expect to find us here?
For the simple reason that Miss Bentham's brother Wallace just couldn't be coming here to see her. It's a physical impossibility.
What do you mean by that?
The dead can't walk.
Oh.
He's just talking, Carla. Come, Carter. Where's that decanter?
Suppose I told you it was at headquarters. Fingerprints, blood and all.
I wouldn't believe you. You couldn't know anything about it.
It couldn't be much plainer. Blood in two places on the decanter... well, your wife was clubbed once, and the other place must have been where you clubbed Wallace.
Oh, no. No.
I'm sorry, Miss Bentham. These two killed your brother, too.
Father, he knows.
Just what do you know, Carter?
Plenty. You caught Wallace and your wife together and killed them both by slugging him with a whiskey decanter. I imagine that Mackley was close enough to see you do it without being seen himself. Then you had the idea that if young Bentham disappeared, the police would blame the murder on him. So you and your precious son carried his body out and hid it. But while you were gone, Mackley got his big idea. Blackmail. Here in front of him was a decanter with blood and fingerprints on it. And you, Mr. Cord, were now a very rich man, having inherited your wife's fortune at her death. So Mackley got the decanter, poured out the whiskey, and filled it with the wine from the bottle on the desk. The blood didn't show up that way. Then he took it down to the bar, carrying it carefully so as to preserve the valuable fingerprints.
Father, how can he know all this?
Go on, Carter. Anything else?
Plenty. Judging by the note we found on Mackley's body a while ago, he must have gone to Carla's apartment to let her in on the blackmailing scheme, too. Maybe you wanted to hide the decanter there for safety. But you trailed him there, Cord, and socked him with the bookend, figuring you don't hang any higher for 3 murders than for 2. But Carla came in just then, and you had to leave before you could search Mackley's body. Then I got into the case. You trailed me and saw me get hold of Mackley's car in which the decanter was hidden. Meanwhile, your sweet son trailed Carla here. And the rest was easy. Force her to call me and then force me to produce the incriminating decanter.
You're a fool. Why should I kill my own wife?
Because she had money and because you were broke. That and a jealous disposition are motive enough.
Okay, so I killed her. Now I want that decanter. You'll call a messenger on that phone. Tell him where to bring it to you at once. If you don't, we'll start working on Carla again.
Okay, Gord, you win. For Carla's sake, I'll do it. Let me have the phone.
That's more like it, Carter. Call Cranston, 1365. That's the nearest messenger office. Here, take the receiver. I'll dial it for you.
Very well. Duck, Carter! Get your hands up, Carter!
No, you don't! Are you slack, little worm? Give me that gun, I'll fix you!
Mr. Carter, look out behind you!
Easy, Carter, take it easy. I'll take over now.
All right, good for you, Sergeant. Well, did you hear anything while you were out there?
I heard enough to send the old boy to the chair.
I'm glad you got my message okay.
Message? I didn't get any message from you. The hotel clerk downstairs phoned and said...
That was the message I sent you. After I threatened him with my gun and flashed a torn $5 bill on him, I knew he'd get in touch with headquarters right away. Smart fellow, that clerk. Wouldn't let anyone put anything over on him. And you're a smart fellow, too, Kilroy, recognizing his description of me and answering the call yourself.
Well, nobody but me was going to have the pleasure of pulling you in. But look here, Carter. You said Cord and his son hid young Bentham's body. We went all over the house last night, and he isn't hidden there.
Did you look in one of those big urns that Cord's place is decorated with?
You mean those big vases? Heck no, never thought to look inside them. I'll send someone up right away.
Well, how about me? I haven't forgotten you wanted to arrest me a while back.
I ain't forgotten it, Carter, and I ain't forgotten about that sock in the jaw you gave me. But, look, suppose we decide that I broke this murder case myself. Would you have any objections?
Why, no, Sergeant. Tell you what I'll do. I'll swap you a decanter complete with fingerprints and bloodstains in return for letting bygones be bygones and no hard feelings anywhere. Agreed?
Okay, but in the future, keep out of my way. I don't want to have any more arguments with you. Your arguments have too much punch behind them for me.
Just a moment, Nick and Patsy will return with a preview of next week's exciting case. But before they do, here's a New Year's resolution for you, one you'll find it easy to keep. The resolution that this year you'll make your home a more pleasant, more inviting place to be. With the three great Linex home brighteners, it's always easy to keep your floors, furniture, and woodwork shining clean. Take Linex cream polish, for instance, which gives your furniture a handsome, lustrous look in half the time. Yes, it's true, for Linex cream polish cleans as it polishes, saving you one whole step in your cleaning day routine and removing in one quick application the cloudy accumulation of dust and previous polish. Linex cream polish banishes messy fingerprints and helps conceal ugly scratches, too, and it leaves no oily film to attract more dust to make more work. So be sure to ask your dealer for Linex cream polish. Get all three great Linex home brighteners. That's Linex, spelled L-I-N-X. You'll find them, Linex self-polishing wax, Linex cream polish, and Linex clear gloss varnish at your nearest hardware, paint, or department store. One other important reminder. This is the final week of the great Sixth War Loan Drive. Make the world's safest investment now. Invest in victory, in post-war stability, in your own future security. Buy an extra war bond. And make your idle dollars fighting dollars. And now let's hear from Nick Carter himself. How are you going to start the new year off, Nick? Have you got a good story for us?
Well, I think so, Ken. A friend of mine, a college professor, was shot in his own home just a few minutes before I got there to see him. The motive was not robbery. But we couldn't find any other motive either.
And as Nick didn't take me with him on that trip, he didn't have the advantage of my experience and training as a super detective.
Which was a great mistake, Patsy, as Nick undoubtedly found out.
Another murder followed on the heels of the first, and a third victim was nearly added to the list.
The said third victim being Nick himself.
Yes, I came nearer the end that time than at any other in my life.
What do you call it, Nick?
I've called it Monkey Sees Murder.
Or the Mystery of the Peruvian Red Mark.
Well, listen next week for further details. So long for now.
I think you'd be interested to hear Nick Carter as the guest detective on the Quick as a Flash program this evening at 6 o'clock over most of these stations. Why not tune in? And now, so long.
And so long to you both, Nick and Patsy. Be seeing you again next week. Next week at the same time, listen to another curious experience of Nick Carter, Master Detective, entitled...
Monkey Sees Murder, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Peruvian Red Mark.
Nick Carter, Master Detective, is featured in Street and Smith magazines. Lon Clark is starred as Nick, with Helen Choate as Patsy. Original music is played by Lou White, and the programs are written and directed by Jock McGregor. And now the three great Linex home brighteners, Linex Clear Gloss Varnish, Linex Cream Polish, and Linex Self-Polishing Wax, created by Acme White Lead and Color Works, America's great producer of fine Acme quality paints, wishes every one of you real contentment and success during the new year. Ken Powell speaking. This is Mutual.
Rinso, R-I-N-S-O, Soapy Rich Rinso presents Boston Blackie, starring Chester Morris.
What are you reading, Chief, little Abner?
No, listen to this, Matthews. Special feature of the Great Gems exhibit at the famous Godet Jewelers will be the incomparable Star of the Nile emerald. One of the most precious gems in the world, so precious that George Stevens, vice president of Godet's, is personally bringing the star to Chicago from Chicago to New York.
I don't get the joke, Chief.
Sure you don't, because you don't know that Boston Blackie's on the same train with George Stevens.
But Chief, I don't get it.
Well, if I know my Boston Blackie, and to my great sorrow I do, he won't be able to resist a little gadget worth a cool 200 grand.
I still don't see what's funny. Besides, Blackie hasn't gone after sparklers in a long time.
I know that, but I also know one thing that sparkles that's right up Blackie's alley.
Yeah, what's that?
Dame.
Sure, Chief, but the Star of the Nile ain't a dame.
Yeah, but Helen Crewe is.
Helen Crewe?
Yeah, something's bound to happen on a train when it's carrying those three. George Stevens, Helen Carew, and Boston Black.
Well, nobody has to lead Blackie to adventure because somehow adventure always seems to seek him out. In just a moment, we'll hear more about Blackie and the Star of the Nile. You know, you can lead a soap to water, but you can't always make it give thick, rich suds. Not if it's hard water, and not if you're using one of those lazy bar or skimpy suds package soaps. No, ma'am, that's when you want Rinso. Soapy Rich Rinso on the job. You see, Rinso bubbles up in a mountains of suds, practically at the touch of water. Suds that go right to town on your clothes. Suds that get out more dirt to give you that Rinso white, Rinso bright wash. And no hard scrubbing or boiling to ruin your wash day disposition. A short soaking in Rinso suds, a few quick finger rubs on extra soiled places, and your clothes are ready to rinse. So, next wash day, whistle up a Rinso wash. A wash that's Rinso white and Rinso bright. And now, Chester Morris and the Adventures of Boston Blackie.
It's obvious that an international bank should be established for reconstruction. At the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference held at Bretton Woods, certain preliminary steps were taken. However, it is only the beginning.
Oh, I said,
when you realize that the International Monetary Fund will total around $8,500,000,000. But that's only the beginning.
Yes, well, a small beginning. You know, I get kind of mixed up when I start counting over 850.
Oh, young man, we'll all have to learn how to count in millions and billions in the post-war world.
Well, that's very interesting. Oh, here you are, Stuart. I'd like some dessert.
Can you take this seat, miss?
Oh, thank you.
Never mind the dessert, Stuart.
Well, I'm finished. Wouldn't you rather have this chair by the window?
Thank you.
And good day to you, young man. Thanks for your company.
Well, thanks to you for the tip on the international monetary situation. I can't wait to use it. Very interesting man.
Oh, and very distinguished looking, too. Who is he?
I don't know, but he's awfully good at counting. Is it all right if we talk?
Why not? You see, my mother never told me not to talk to strangers on a train.
I like your mother. Very intelligent woman.
Well, I'm no isolationist. But to make it proper, my name is Helen Carew.
Oh, and mine is Boston Blackie.
I've heard that name somewhere. Are you a baseball player?
No, why? Do you like baseball?
No, not particularly.
Well, why did you bring up the subject?
Oh, just to make conversation.
Fine. Let's talk about you.
All right, let's. I'm a very pleased young lady on a train between Chicago and New York.
Why are you pleased?
Because I didn't expect conversation with my dinner.
Well, do you realize that the International Monetary Fund will total about $8,500,000,000 this year?
No.
Yes. You see... Uh-oh, it's back again.
Excuse me, I've lost something.
It can't be that $8,500,000,000.
No, it was a chamois pouch. I don't see it. Wait.
Oh, I'd better get out of the way.
It isn't here.
Oh, pardon me, sir. What did you lose?
This is terrible, terrible. Waiter, waiter.
Oh, it sounds important.
Young man, you have no idea how important. That pouch was worth $200,000.
That's a lot of money to be carrying around.
It wasn't money. It was an emerald. One of the most valuable gems in the world, the Star of the Nile.
What a pretty name.
I tell you, Inspector, I've been robbed. It was sometime during the dinner hour. The Star of the Nile is missing.
Okay, Mr. Stevens, I got that much from the telegram the conductor sent. Now, we'll search every passenger on the train if we have to, so calm down. Now, you say you thought you left it in the diner. Were you alone?
No, a young man joined me for dinner, and then later, just before I left, a young lady was seated at our table.
Mm-hmm. Friends of yours?
Oh, no, just the people one meets on a train.
Now, this young man, what was he like?
Well, he was a clean-cut-looking chap with dark hair, a good build, nice smile.
I'm not a bit surprised. And the young lady?
Oh, quite attractive. As a matter of fact, the young man seemed rather taken with her.
Well, Mr. Stevens, I don't think you have to worry about your Star of the Nile. I might even say the situation is well in hand. Matthew should be here any moment now with the man we're looking for.
Here he is, Chief.
Welcome, Boston Blackie. Welcome home. Your new home. As a matter of fact, I've prepared a special escort to take you there.
Well, now, how thoughtful, Inspector. But where's the brass band?
All right, come off it, Blackie. Where's the emerald?
This is a great shock to me, young man.
Well, it's no shock to me, sir. I know my Faraday. He never fails. He never fails to be dead wrong.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Blackie. But you were in the diner with Mr. Stevens when the emerald disappeared.
Mr. Stevens? I didn't even know that was his name.
Oh, now, Blackie, as if you didn't know that Mr. Stevens was vice president of Godet's and that he was carrying the Star of the Nile to New York. As if you didn't read the papers.
Of course I read the papers, Inspector, but I was a little more interested in the fact that we'd just taken Cannes and Saipan.
Okay. Now you can tell me all about that at headquarters. Come on, Blackie.
Now look, Faraday, do you mind if I talk this over with Mr. Stevens?
Whatever you have to say, you stay at headquarters. Come on.
I'll be in touch with you, Inspector. Thanks again. Mm-hmm.
Now, about that brass band, Blackie, I'll arrange to have one when we send you up the river.
Oh, are you leaving, Mr. Blackie?
Oh, yes. Yes, my Uncle Faraday always brings the town car to meet me.
Uncle Faraday, my aunt.
Well, your Uncle Faraday must have a lot of influence. I wonder when the police are going to let the rest of us off the train.
Well, Miss Carew, I'll see if I can use my influence. You see, he happens to be the police. Uncle, meet Miss Carew.
How do you do, Mr. Faraday?
Pleased to meet you. I hope this fellow hasn't taken you in, too.
Oh, no, Mr. Faraday. On the contrary, he's been very nice to me.
Yeah, that's Blackie. Well, you might as well know, Miss Carew. He's being charged with the theft of the Star of the Nile.
But that's impossible.
Impossible? What do you mean, Miss Carew?
Well, I was at the table when Mr. Stevens discovered his loss, and I'm sure that Mr. Blackie had nothing whatever to do with it.
You haven't known him as long as I have, Miss Carew. You mean to tell me that Boston Blackie didn't do it?
That's exactly what I mean.
Well, thanks, Miss Carew, for telling the inspector something that he should have known. He usually goes the long way around. You helped him find the shortcut.
Oh, you haven't gone yet, Inspector.
No, I'm afraid we'll have to begin all over again, Mr. Stevens.
What do you mean?
Well, Miss Carew here has a strong alibi for Blackie, and I'm still looking for a loophole, but under the circumstances, I'm afraid I can't hold him.
But you're going to do something about it, aren't you, Inspector?
Well,
after all, you were sure that the emerald must still be on the train.
Well, that's right, Mr. Stevens, it is. That's what I tried to tell you before the inspector shut me up.
Oh, so you know. Well, come on, Blackie, where is it?
I didn't say I knew where. Mr. Stevens, you're rather absent-minded, aren't you?
Absent-minded? Why, no.
Well, perhaps I'm jumping to conclusions, but... Of course, if you'll remember, you left the diner without paying your bill.
I did?
Oh, not that I minded buying your dinner, Mr. Stevens, but... It occurred to me that if you were absent-minded enough to forget your dinner check, you also might have forgotten something else.
How could I forget the Star of the Nile? I put it in my vest pocket just before I went into the diner.
Are you sure you put it in your vest pocket, Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Well, then the whole thing's solved. You know, all during dinner, I was envying you, Mr. Stevens. I really was. You looked so cool and comfortable in that sports jacket you were wearing, And you weren't wearing a vest, Mr. Stevens.
I wasn't? Well, that's absurd. Now, wait a minute.
Oh, what's going on here? Vests, sports jackets. Come on, Blackie.
Don't you remember, Mr. Stevens?
Let me think. I lay down to take a nap just before dinner.
Yeah.
I got up and dressed and...
By George, you're right.
Oh.
The emerald must be in the vest that I packed in my suitcase. Oh, Inspector, I'm terribly sorry to have caused you all this trouble, and you, young man and young lady. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Good day.
Well, how do you like that?
You seem to be disappointed, Inspector.
Yeah. You know, if Boston Blackie can sit next to a guy in a train that's got something worth 200 grand and not do something about it, I guess it's time I turned in my bag.
Well, you should have thought of that before, Inspector. Just think. By now, you could have had a cottage, a couple of cows, a victory garden, instead of that pet ulcer of yours. By the way, what do you call it?
Boston Blackie. What else?
Why, Inspector, how sweet of you, naming your first one after me. Oh.
Taxi!
Oh, Miss Carew, I've been looking for you. Here's a cab coming up now. May I drop you someplace?
Oh, thanks.
Where to, Miss Carew?
The Middleton, please.
Okay, driver, 48th Street off Lexington.
You don't miss a thing, do you, Mr. Blackie?
Well, I have a great appreciation for beautiful things.
Oh, then you must have seen the Star of the Nile.
Star of the Nile?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about beautiful things, such as, well, the dessert I had for dinner last night.
Oh. I was just marveling at how clever you were, helping Mr. Stevens to find his emerald.
Well, it isn't hard to find something that was never lost, Miss Carew. And incidentally, thanks for putting in a good word for me with the inspector.
Oh, don't mention it.
By the way, I'll bet there's another thing your mother forgot to warn you about.
Oh?
Accepting dinner invitations from a young man in a taxi cab.
I told you not to disturb me, Miss Everett. I'm too busy to see... Oh, who are you?
Louis.
Louis?
Yeah. Miller said you wanted to see me.
Oh, yes, Mr. Louis. Won't you sit down?
Now, look, let's get this straight, Mr. Stevens. I don't know you, but Miller said you had a job for a guy with fingers.
Well, I wouldn't exactly put it that way, Mr. Louis.
And another thing, Mr. Stevens. This is strictly business. Miller says you want me to open up a safe down at Godet's and lift a hunk of jewelry.
Well, now...
And what's more, Mr. Stevens, I know you're vice president of Godet's. That's your business, but it ain't mine. And if you're worrying about what might happen, you're in a swell spot. After all, who'd the judge believe, me or you?
Well, I'm glad we understand each other, Mr. Louis. The emerald has already been deposited in the Godet vault, and since the exhibit will open tomorrow, there's no reason for any further delay.
Hey, Blackie. Did you hear me calling you?
Well, vaguely. To be honest with you, Shorty, I had my mind on somebody else.
Well, boss, I just heard something I thought you'd be interested in.
Yeah?
You know, you were telling me about that emerald mixed up on the train?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a tip, see? Somebody's going to crack the Godet safe for that emerald.
When?
Midnight.
How straight was this tip, Shorty?
A very reliable tip, boss. A Fingers told me.
Fingers? Oh, that's too big a job for him. He's only got 10.
Well, that's what the man said. He said that.
That small-time safecracker. I guess I'd better go down and help him out. But before business, pleasure. Well, for once, Miss Carew, I can't blame Faraday. After all, he brought us together.
Brought us together?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, if he hadn't accused me, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to vouch for me, and, well, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to show you my appreciation.
Oh, I see. Well, the whole thing was a little silly anyway.
Oh, well, not altogether. Faraday has the memory of an elephant and the persistence of a little beaver. And looks like both of them. If anything happens, it's got to be Boston Blackie.
Oh, that's a nuisance, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Faraday hounds me, but it's good to have him around at the windup.
Blackie, I don't quite make you out, but I like you.
Thanks. I hope that's an understatement.
Well, I'm surprised the police are so suspicious of you.
Oh, that's the story of my life. You see, Faraday has good instincts, only he picks the wrong person. If he knew, for instance, that tonight I may have something to do with robbing a vault, he'd become suspicious right away.
But of course you haven't anything to do with that.
But of course I have. Only it's not as bad as it sounds.
Oh, now I'm really puzzled.
Well, the only puzzle is, why don't I spend the rest of the evening with you?
Meaning that you have to leave?
Meaning that I have an important conference about something green and something Egyptian.
Oh, I see. But like the Sphinx, you won't talk.
Perhaps I'll have something to tell you later. I'll get your coat.
Oh, thanks. I have to phone.
But don't make any dates for the next month. I want to put in my bid first.
Hello? Operator, give me Madison 72772. Hello?
Inspector, this is Helen Carew. I just had dinner with Boston Blackie. We're leaving now. He's dropping me off at my hotel. He's going down to Godet's. He's after the emerald. And, Inspector, if you should happen to catch him, please don't mention me.
The flowers that bloom in the summer have nothing on your pretty cotton washable dresses, ladies. Not when it comes to eye-filling loveliness. And say, you were particular to pick out just the dresses you wanted, weren't you? Well, then you ought to be just as particular about your soap. That's when you want Rinso. Wash after wash, Rinso leaves your clothes bright and new-looking because those power-packed suds get out more dirt. Yes, you'll be proud of your Rinso wash. I'll bet you'll join our chorus of women who have learned to sing their way through wash day like this.
Rinso white, Rinso white, happy little wash day song. Rinso white, Rinso white, pretty sing it all day long. Your fine feathered friend has a message to send, so listen, you can't go wrong. Rinso white, Rinso white, happy little wash day song.
So get Rinso tomorrow. And now back to Chester Morris and the adventures of Boston Blackie. Boston Blackie, unaware that Helen Carew has tipped off Inspector Faraday as to his destination, is en route to Godet's Jewelers to try to prevent the robbery of the vault there and to discover who is back of the attempt to steal the famous Star of the Nile emerald. It is midnight at the Godet vault.
It's no use, Louis. It's one of them new style vaults. I can't make it out.
Well, we got dynamite. I have to use it. I don't like a noisy job, but where is it?
I left it out in the alley, boss.
Now, go get it.
Okay, I'm going.
Try again, Fingers. Stevens is paying off plenty.
Well, I'm nervous. This is a big job, boss.
Too big for you, Fingers. Okay, stay where you are.
Boston Blackie.
That's right. What were you saying about a certain Mr. Stevens?
Now, look, Blackie, let's be sensible about this.
Well,
we're having a little trouble cracking this crib. Yeah.
I'll make a bet for you.
I'll bet you can't open it.
Are you kidding, Fingers?
I'll make a good bet.
All right.
So it'll pay you to try.
Well, I'll make a bet with you. Not the kind of a bet that'll pay you in money, but it might save a few years of your life.
Yeah?
Yeah, all you have to do is talk.
Yeah, we'll talk, Blackie. And drop your rod first.
Oh, so you got a little playmate. Okay, take your gun away from my back.
Get it, Louis.
I get it. You know, Blackie, this is a happy coincidence. As I said before, we can use you. Only now the bet's off. You're just going to do it. Come on, get those fingers working.
And suppose these fingers can't open the vault.
And the next time you go to buy gloves, you better look for mittens. Come on, take a good look at the crib.
Oh, a beautiful job. You know, Faraday should see me now. Okay, stand back and keep quiet.
Yeah, we'll be quiet, all right, but it's up to you, Blackie. This gun can make a lot of noise.
Shh. Wait a minute. It feels like, there's one. Now let's try this. Uh-huh, next one. Now that's two. Now...
Hold it up, break this door down. Come on, it's the law.
It's the cops.
Miller, is the alley door open?
Yeah, and Joe's covering out there.
Okay, let's beat it.
Now, what about Blackie?
Forget about Blackie. Come on.
Okay, Blackie.
Yes, there you go, Chief. Stop, Blackie, or we'll shoot.
I warned you, Blackie. Hey, this isn't Blackie. Hey, who are these other two? Oh, Louis, huh?
Yeah, Fingers and Miller.
Hey, what is this, a national convention? Where's Blackie?
How'd you know Blackie was going to be down there, Faraday?
A little bird told me, but where is he?
Well, now, I don't expect you to believe this, Inspector, but so help me. We were passing by the alley, and we heard a noise, and we come in. Naturally curious, you understand?
Yeah.
And who do you suppose was starting to crack that vault?
Don't tell me, Boston Blackie?
Yeah.
Well, then, what are we doing out here in the alley? He couldn't have gotten away.
Yeah, Chief, there's only two doors to that room. We came through this one.
Eddie.
So he better be back in that vault room.
That's right. Eddie, watch these mugs here.
Right.
Come on, Matthews, let's have a look.
They ain't in here, Chief. Ain't in here.
Oh, I can see for myself, Matthews. I can see for myself. Must have slipped through the door before we came in. Matthews, you're fired.
Me, Chief? I ain't done nothing.
That's the trouble. You never do anything. I'll see if the vault's open, Matthews.
Okay, Chief. Now, lock tight on the drum. There ain't a mark on it. Looks like we saved the emerald for go days, huh, Inspector?
Yeah, but I wish somebody had saved Blackie for me. Matthews, I hate to say it, but we gave Blackie a break. We came in just in time to save him from getting into trouble.
I just wanted to thank you, Inspector, for preventing the robbery last night and catching the thieves.
Don't mention it, Mr. Stevens.
Tell me, did they have a chance to open the vault?
Nope, we were Johnny on the spot. They never even got started.
Well, Inspector, I can't thank you enough for the fine job you've done.
Fine job. Nothing ever happens. Nobody steals anything. Listen, Mr. Stevens, if somebody should steal that emerald and I catch him, then you can thank me. What burns me up is that Boston Blackie was down there, too, but he got away.
Boston Blackie, he got away? Are you sure the vault wasn't opened?
Sure, we tried it. It was locked tight.
Well, that's fine, but to be on the safe side, I'd better check up. I'll go right down to the vault myself. But I tell you, Faraday, it's gone. The emerald's gone. I just searched the vault. It's gone.
That's great. I've really got Boston Blackie now. Don't worry, Mr. Stevens. Calm down. You'll get your star, and I'll get Boston Blackie.
So that's what happened, Helen. Faraday collected 3 mugs, and he didn't seem pleased about it.
But Blackie, how did you get out?
Well, while Faraday was rounding up the other mugs, I got the last number of the vault's combination, you see?
Mm-hmm.
I opened the door and stepped in and then closed it.
But you might have been locked in.
I was locked in, fortunately, because somebody tried the handle of the vault later.
Hmm.
You see, Helen, modern vaults have an anti-hold-up device.
What's that?
Oh, it's a sort of gimmick that locks the door from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just pushed the lever. After they left, I slipped out through the alley door.
What were you after, Blackie?
I told you before. Something green and something Egyptian. The Star of the Nile Emerald, of course.
Did you find it in the vault?
Yes.
Oh.
But I didn't take it. I just wanted to make sure it was there.
You didn't take it. Blackie, I don't understand you.
Now, look, somebody's after the Star of the Nile, and if he gets it, somebody's going to take the rap for it. Could be me, but that's not the point. Nobody's going to take a rap for somebody else while I'm around.
You're talking about somebody. Who?
I'll find that out. But first, I want to have a talk with Mr. Stevens at his hotel. Perhaps he has an idea. Goodbye, Helen. Next time, I promise you, we won't have any outside interference.
Operator, give me Madison 72772. Hello? Helen Carew speaking. Oh, the inspector isn't there? Well, then I want to leave a message. Tell him that Boston Blackie is on his way to the Cavanaugh Hotel to see Mr. Stevens. I can't wait for the inspector to call back, so tell him I'm going to see Stevens, too, right now. But try to get the inspector there as quickly as you can.
Slow down, Blackie. Slow down there. Okay, you can march in step with me and Matthews now.
You're taking your afternoon constitutional, gentlemen?
What were you doing back there at the Middleton apartment, Blackie?
Now, Inspector, you're privileged to know anything about my public life.
Mm-hmm.
But I insist that you don't interfere in my private affairs.
Well, this is a little private affair that I am interfering in.
Oh.
You're under arrest for stealing the Star of the Nile.
What, again?
And no alibi this time, either. You were down at the Goday vault with Louis and the 2 other guys. I got them and searched them, but you got away. Now, somebody got that emerald out of the vault. Come on. Shake a leg, Blackie. Hey, I didn't say stop. I said go.
Police! Police! I've been robbed!
You have
Who robbed me? Have you gone nuts, Blackie?
Let me go! Police!
Oh, cut it out. What is this?
Who robbed?
Let me go! Police! They pulled a gun on me. The 2 of them.
Help! Now, listen. You all really give it to you.
Hearing me? Shaking me.
Hey, he's gone. Matthews, why don't you help me out of this mob? Hey, folks, look. I'm a police inspector. Honest, I am. Matthews, quick! Shoot it, Blackie! Hey, listen. All of you, stand back. Lay off that fella. He's a police. That's Matthews. He's police, too.
Thanks, Chief. Say, did Blackie get away?
Yeah. Matthews! You're fired!
But I was sure he was coming here, Mr. Stevens.
Miss Carew, why should Mr. Blackie come to see me at my hotel? Besides, I'm confident that by this time, Inspector Faraday has made sure that the young man is no longer a free agent.
Perhaps, yes, perhaps you're right. But, well, I'm not sure the inspector is right in what he's doing.
Oh, now, Miss Carew, it's quite obvious that you have an attachment for Mr. Blackie. And if the police have taken him, I won't have to worry about the Star of the Nile any longer.
But the police haven't taken me, Mr. Stevens.
Boston Blackie.
And incidentally, if I knew how much the Star of the Nile would be worth to you, I might listen to reason.
Blackie.
Hello, Miss Carew. I rather expected you'd be here, too. I wouldn't try to phone Mr. Stevens. You really don't want the police to come up here.
Why not?
Because it would be very embarrassing for you. And besides, it would be very embarrassing if I had to use this gun.
Blackie, look.
Oh, Helen, don't. Helen, why did you knock the gun out of my hand?
Because you had me fooled for a while, but I'm finally beginning to understand you, Blackie.
All right, the 2 of you stand still and put your hands up high.
Oh, so you have a gun, too, Mr. Stevens. Is that to guard the emerald you stole from your own vault?
Mr. Stevens took the emerald?
Yes. Usually when people want to steal something, they just steal it. But Mr. Stevens had to do it the hard way.
But you made it much easier for me, Mr. Blackie. You see, you were in the vault, and now everybody will know that Boston Blackie stole the emerald.
Just one thing I'd like to know, Mr. Stevens. Why does a vice president of a large firm like Godet's have to steal a piece of the jewelry.
Well, there's an ugly word for it, embezzlement. I'm awfully sorry, Miss Carew. Sorry that you came here tonight, because no one else can know what you two know now. I'm going to have to kill you.
Come on, Stevens, give me that gun.
Stay where you are.
I want that gun, Stevens.
Blackie, don't.
I told you to stay where you are.
Look, you can't pull that trigger.
Get back! Get back!
Thanks, Helen, for sending the message.
Yeah, Inspector, I think Mr. Stevens will go with you now.
Oh, Stevens?
Yes, Inspector, and thanks for putting Helen on this case. We've got your man.
Come on, let's go.
No, I won't go. I can't go. I've gone long enough. I can never catch up. For years now, I've been running after myself, running away from something. I couldn't stop, but I've got to stop. You'll never get me, I tell you. I've got to stop.
Here, here, here.
Well, we got what we were looking for, but I can't say I'm very happy about it. Well, Faraday, this time I've really got to thank you.
Don't kid me, Blackie.
No, on the level. You saved my life. You know, it's the first time in 10 years that I've been scared.
Really?
Well, you know, Stevens might have pulled that trigger.
No such luck.
Oh, very funny. Yes, he'd have shot Helen and me if you hadn't knocked on the door. He had only one other way out, Faraday, and because you came in, he took that way.
Always blaming it on me, huh?
Now, look, Inspector, won't you miss me a teeny little bit?
Does a guy miss a headache?
You know, Helen, you really had me fooled. But let me give you a tip. The next time you call Madison 72772, you better be inside a telephone booth.
What?
Remember when we were out for dinner the first time?
Yeah.
Well, I went to get your coat, and as I was leaving, I heard you ask the operator for Madison 72772.
My private number.
Sure. Only a few people know that number, and I'm proud to be one of them.
So you knew I was working for the infected.
Sure, but that didn't matter. You already had your hooks in me, and I couldn't get loose.
Well, perhaps now you'd like me to unhook you?
Oh, honey, with you, anything goes. By hook or by crook.
I suppose it's your business if you want to make a big job out of dishwashing, but I'd like to butt in just the same because I feel you don't really like to spend a lot of time at the kitchen sink, and you don't have to if you put Rinso to work for you. Those Pepe Rinso suds get your dishes sparkling bright so easily that there's not much point in scraping and scouring with the lazy suds of some soaps. And Rinso's so economical, too. Just a little Rinso goes a long, long way. So better get Rinso tomorrow for dishwashing, for all the soap and water jobs around the house, and for a wash that's Rinso white and Rinso bright. And now a glimpse at next week's adventure of Boston Blackie.
Here goes.
What a crack-up.
Them plainclothes cops in that car ain't never going to interrupt another one of our hijack jobs.
Plainclothes cops? Them ain't no cops. The driver of the car that just wrapped around a telephone pole is Boston Blackie.
Friends, millions of tons of paper are needed to ship ammunition and blood plasma, so vitally necessary in the winning of this war. Do your share to see that our boys get the material they need. Save paper. The need is terribly urgent. Now, one simple way to help is to take your own shopping bag to the grocer's. Be sure to listen in at this same time next week for another exciting adventure with Boston Blackie. You can see Chester Morris as Boston Blackie on the screen at your favorite movie theater. Boston Blackie's latest Columbia picture is One Mysterious Night, soon to be released. Richard Lane appears as Inspector Faraday. Music by Charles Cornell. This is Harlow Wilcox saying goodnight for Boston Blackie, brought to you by the makers of Rinso, the soap that gets clothes. And when you get Rinso tomorrow, buy some Lifebuoy, too. Use Lifebuoy in your daily bath or shower. You'll love that rich, purifying lather. You know, of 7 leading brands, Lifebuoy gives you the most soap for your money. And besides, it's the only soap especially made to stop... This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's Case Closed for this week. Hope you enjoyed our selections this time. If you want to hear more from Nick Carter, Boston Blackie, past episodes of Case Closed, and all the other podcasts, just visit RelicRadio.com. You'll find it all. You can donate through the website as well if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. It's how it's all made possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.